The Story of the Treasure Seekers by Edith Nesbit. Chapter 1. This is the story of the different ways we looked for treasure, but there are some things I must say before I begin to tell you about the treasure seeking. Our home is in the Lewisham Road. It is semi-detached and has a small garden. We are the Bastables. There are 6 of us besides Father. Our mother is dead, and if you think we don't care, because I don't tell you much about her, you do not understand people at all. My name is Oswald. I am 13. Dora is the eldest. She is 15. Then Dickie. He is 11. Alice and Noelle are twins. They are 10. And Horace Octavius, H.O. for short, is 8. I was the first to think of looking for treasure. I said, "We must go and seek for treasure. It is always what you do to restore the fallen fortunes of your house." Everybody agreed with me, so we held a council. Dora said it was all very well. She was trying to mend a large hole in one of Noel's stockings. Since Mother died, Father does not like to be asked for new things. Besides, there is no more pocket money except a penny now and then, and people do not come to dinner anymore, and we have no gardener, and the silver in the big oak cupboard all went away. Father was very ill after Mother died, and while he was ill, his business partner went to Spain, and there was never much money afterwards. I don't know why. Then the servants left, all but one, Eliza. Then we stopped going to school, and Father said a holiday would do us good, but we knew he couldn't afford it. So you see, it was time we looked for treasure, and I said so. "We must do something," said Alice. "Yes, but what?" said Dickie. "It's so easy to say, let's do something. Let's read all the books again. We'll get lots of ideas out of them." It was Noel who suggested this. He is a poet, and he sold some of his poetry once, and it was printed in the local paper. Then Dickie said, "Let each of us think of some way to find treasure. Then we'll try all the ways one after another." We all began to speak at once, but Dora put up her hands to her ears and said, "One at a time, please." So Dora made us all sit in a row on the floor, and then she pointed at us with the finger that had the thimble on. I spoke first. "I think we might stop people with masks and big pistols and say, 'Your money or your life. Resistance is useless. We are armed to the teeth.'" Dora screwed up her nose and said, "That would be very wrong. It's like pickpocketing." But I said, "Oh, very well. I can think of lots of other ways. We could rescue an old gentleman from deadly highwaymen." "There aren't any," said Dora. "Oh, well, it's all the same. From deadly peril, then. He would turn out to be the Prince of Wales, and he would say, 'My noble preserver, here is £1,000,000 a year, Sir Oswald Bastable.'" But the others did not think so. Alice said, "I think we might try the divining rod. I've often read about it. You hold a stick in your hands, and when you come to where there is gold underneath, the stick starts turning around, and you start digging." Then Dora jumped up and dropped the stocking and the thimble and said, "Let's try my way now. Besides, I'm the eldest, so it's only fair. Let's dig for treasure. Not any divining rod, but just plain digging. People who dig for treasure always find it. And then we'll be rich and we needn't try your ways at all. Some of them are rather difficult, and some of them are wrong." I couldn't help wondering as we went down to the garden why Father had never thought of digging there for treasure instead of going to his office every day. We all went down into the cellar and lighted the gas. We looked among the old boxes and broken chairs and empty bottles, and at last we found the spades we had to dig in the sand with when we went to the seaside 3 years ago. They are not silly, babyish wooden spades that split if you look at them, but good iron with yellow wooden handles. We wasted a little time getting them dusted because the girls wouldn't dig with spades that had cobwebs on them. We marked out a sort of square in the garden, about 3 yards across and began to dig. But we found nothing except worms and stones, and the ground was very hard. So we thought we'd try another part of the garden, and we found a place in the big round flower bed where the ground was much softer. We dug and dug and dug, but we found nothing. Suddenly, Albert next door looked over the wall. We do not like him very much, but we let him play with us sometimes, because his father is dead, and you must not be unkind to orphans, even if their mothers are alive. Albert is always very tidy. He wears frilly collars and velvet knickerbockers. So we said, "Hello." And he said, "What are you up to?" "We're digging for treasure," said Alice. "Come over and help us. We are going to find a great pot of red clay, full of gold and precious jewels." Albert only sniggered and said, "What silly nonsense." He cannot play properly at all. It is very strange, because he has a very nice uncle. You see, Albert has not read so many books as we have, so he is very foolish and ignorant, but it cannot be helped, and you just have to put up with it when you want him to do something. Besides, it is wrong to be angry with people who are not so clever as you are yourself. It is not always their faults. So I said, "Come and dig, then you will share the treasure." But he said, "I shan't. I don't like digging, and I'm just going in to my tea." "Come along and dig," Alice said. "You can use my spade. It's the best." So he came along and dug, and we worked too, and the hole got deep. Pincher, our dog, worked too. He is very good at digging. "I think we'll have to make a tunnel," I said, "to reach the treasure." So he jumped into the hole and began to dig at one side. We took it in turns to dig at the tunnel, and Pincher was most useful. At last the tunnel was nearly a yard long. Now it was Albert's turn to go in and dig, but he funked it. "Take your turn like a man," I said. "It's quite easy," Alice said. "You just crawl in and dig with your hands. Then when you come out, we can scrape out what you've done with the spades. We've all been in except Dora. She doesn't like worms." But he would not go in head first the proper way and dig with his hands as we did. "Let me go in feet first," said Albert. "I'll dig with my boots." So we let him get in feet first, and he did it very slowly, and at last he was in, and only his head was out. "Now dig with your boots," I said. "And Alice, catch hold of Pincher. He'll be digging again in another minute, and perhaps it would be uncomfortable for Albert if Pincher threw the mold into his eyes. You should always try to think of these little things. Thinking of other people's comfort makes them like you." Alice held Pincher, and Albert began to dig with his feet, and we stood on the ground over him, waiting. Suddenly the ground gave way, and we tumbled together in a heap. When we got up, Albert was underneath, because the roof of the tunnel had tumbled in on him. He cried and screamed, though it didn't hurt, only it was rather heavy and he couldn't move his legs. So Dickie climbed over the wall to tell Albert's uncle to come and help dig him out. Dickie soon came back, and Albert's uncle came with him. He has very long legs, and his hair is light, and his face is brown. He has been to sea, and now he writes books, and we like him. He fetched a big spade and began to dig his nephew out. Then after a while he said, "I'd like to know how my nephew happened to be buried. I suppose no force was used?" "Only moral force," said Alice, and looked at Dora. "Well," Dora said, "I'm very sorry it happened to Albert. You see, we were digging for treasure." "Yes," said Alice, "and the tunnel fell in on Albert. He is so unlucky," she sighed. Then Albert began to scream again, and his uncle wiped his face, his own face, not Albert's, with his silk handkerchief, and then he put it in his trousers pocket. It seems a strange place to put a handkerchief, but I suppose he wanted the handkerchief handy. Digging is hard work. Albert stopped screaming, and his uncle finished digging him out. Albert looked so funny, with his hair all dusty, and his velvet suit covered with mold, and his face muddy with earth and crying. We all said how sorry we were, but he didn't say a word back to us. He was awfully sick with fear. "So you were digging for treasure," said Albert's uncle, wiping his face again with his handkerchief. "Well, I think your chances of success are small. I have made a careful study of the whole subject, What's that? He pointed to something shining in the hole. I picked it up. It was a half crown. We looked at each other, speechless with surprise and delight, like in books. Let's see, that's 5 pence each for you, said Albert's uncle. It's 4 pence something, said Dickie. There are 7 of us, you see. Oh, you count Albert as one of yourselves on this occasion. Of course, said Alice. And I say, he was buried after all. We all agreed and told Albert we would bring his share as soon as we could get the half-crown changed. He cheered up a little at that, and his uncle wiped his face again and began to put on his coat. Then he stooped and picked up something. He held it up, and you will hardly believe it, but it is quite true. It was another half-crown. Albert's uncle has got very sharp eyes. Dora said she was looking just the minute before at the very place where the second half-crown was picked up from, and she never saw it.